Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxies, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Bryan's!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Hello and welcome to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke Mathers. He's Brian Kelly.
Hey, man. How you doing?
Together again on a Monday. I'm doing well, buddy. How about yourself?
We're doing good on Mondays. Not so much on the rest of the week together, but that's because we're growing. I'm working on the Death Star, and it's going to be a beautiful thing.
See, I've just been chalking it up, too. It doesn't matter how you finish. It matters how you start, and we're starting the week off together here on the airwaves across Civic Media.
That.
Yeah, it's terrific. We're having a lot of fun here in Madison in the Solidarity Realty Studios for our first broadcast on the newly rebranded station, Mad Radio 92.7 FM, WMDX 1580 AM.
Positively mad.
It's not even that we're adding new letters and numbers, Brian. We're now changing our existing ones just to keep you and I on our toes. So folks out there listening to the brand new station here in Madison, Mad Radio, welcome to the program. You're also listening in Waukesha on the Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, the Beast of the East, and your local Civic Media radio stations around the state of Wisconsin.
One thing that is consistent, though, we're keeping our name, Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. That's what it is right now, and that's what it is until we tell you otherwise, and we'll let you know. But we don't have any plans of changing
it. I have zero intention of changing it because it's always fun when you hear the dueling headlines then pop up. And last week I even said the Nino, the nonpartisan in name only. I say it on these airwaves, and then boom. It's in a headline around the state of Wisconsin.
All around. Man, look, listen, our influence is everywhere, one. And two, my only regret for missing most of last week was that I didn't get to talk about the balloon. And
I'm just grateful that I had other things to talk about besides the balloon. But I also I want to thank William Walters for filling in on Friday. He did an excellent job as you and I were preparing for the Charlie Radio takeover for Charlie Burns announcing the Cripes cast coming to Civic Media, and Will filled in so that we could take care of that and the rebrand and all of the busy things that you and I have been up to in the last couple of days and that have kept us apart from being on the airwaves. But now we're back.
Yeah. And Brian, I just want to say I really like that William Walter kid. I think he's going places.
He's terrific.
I feel like you better start liking him. Also, I don't know if you know this, but Charlie Burns is on the air now. He's on Saturdays and Sundays at noon. The Cripes cast gets rebroadcast live for our radio exclusively here on Civic Media. And I also got to point out today, this morning, Gilbert Brown was here. Yeah. It's no big deal. It's fine. It's just just Gilbert Brown. It's fine. His Gravedigger hanging out here. He's going to be here every Monday morning, 8 a.m. We're also going to replay that at 1 p.m.
Following the Cripes cast.
I keep saying nationwide. It's network-wide. Network-wide. But if you haven't, he was here this morning. Check it out on the Earl Ingram Show.
Yeah, does he carry the shovel with him, or does he expect you to bring your own shovel to go along with the nickname?
Listen, that guy is as straightforward and as no nonsense as you could possibly be, and he's gregarious as well, and just a fantastic listen. He's got a lot of energy, and I think he's going to be great for the station.
Yeah, we're really excited to have the Gravedigger on the Civic Media team doing Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger every Monday morning. Across
Monday morning,
WAUK, WISS, WGBW at 8 a.m., and then replayed across the entire Civic Media Network, 1 p.m. on Saturdays and Sundays. And Brian, in the vein of housekeeping, we have a little special event coverage going on tomorrow night. President of the United States going to be giving the State of the Union address at 8 p.m. Central Time. You'll be able to tune into your Civic Media stations around the state of Wisconsin and listen to that address. And President Biden coming to Madison on Wednesday of this week, so you're going to want to make sure that you're turning on your Civic Media station this week and leaving it on, because there is so much content that we are putting out there for Wisconsinites, you're not going to want to turn the stations off.
For me, I hope that he brings his Dark Brandon robes so he can do the look-alike like the Emperor, so he can come into Civic Media and check on our Death Star on the progress. Yeah. If he only arrives in a shuttle, that would be so good. Get Crudy to dress in all black. It'll be great.
It'll be great. And in that vein, you know...
I'll be Chewbacca in that situation if that's the case.
Just always. Know.
Just so we're all clear.
You know your role. You've been growing out the beard. You're well prepared for that one, my friends. Yeah. And... You were preoccupied with other projects around the network this last week, but you come in to a Monday morning planning session just with a humdinger that I'm really excited to include in the Dueling Tangents lineup going forward, Brian, because we got to talk about what we missed while we were off the air on Friday, what you missed last week, and we kind of now have a fun little segment I think we're going to kick most Mondays off with. We're going to do a little dumpster diving because we're going to see what kind of trash was taken out on Friday in a standard Friday news dump, and we're going to cover it here on Dueling Tangents because there's lots of things that, you know, some people don't want. Frederick Prenn is the primary example. A Friday news drop right before a holiday weekend saying, okay, I know I've overstayed my welcome for 20 months, but I'm going to resign now officially, finally. Took me long enough.
I think we need to bring to light, you know, certain trash stories that need to be brought to light. Like, for example, I don't know if you know about this, but just recently, it turns out that there's some sound of Trump's campaign staff talking about fanning the flames of the big lie.
Yeah.
It turns out that they dumped that on a Friday afternoon, Friday evening, and now we get to sift through that trash, and it's covered in slime, and, you know, a lot of people are still worried about the balloon instead of, oh, my goodness, oh, yeah, the big lie, they knew about it, and they still did it anyway.
Balloons, clearly, Pro Bowl coverage, the Grammys, lots of things happened over the weekend, Brian, that people were focused on instead of the Friday news dump, and therefore, I think it's important that we discuss it here on Dueling Tangents, and this writing... published on Friday by Scott Bauer over at the AP, the headline, Trump campaign staff on 2020 election lies, quote, fan the flame.
That's good, right?
They knew they lost, Brian. Uh-huh. They knew that they had lost by 20. They even knew the margin. They accepted the 20,000 vote defeat, but they, campaign staff, instructed members of the campaign to keep fanning those flames. Oh, yeah. Anything that you can feed the Michael Gableman machine? He's hungry. He'll take it. It was an outright admission that the campaign staff knew that all of the hearsay, the implications of voter fraud, of improprieties in the election system, the recounts, and just the utter lies that were shared were all part of this when they knew, Brian. They knew they lost, and they lied about it. And they were given credibility. Everybody wrote up these stories.
Comms is going to continue to fan the flame and get the word out about Democrats trying to steal this election. We'll do whatever they need our help with. Okay, so just be on standby in case there's any stunts we need to pull.
That was the voice of Andrew Iverson, who is the head of Trump's campaign in this state. That's the head of Trump's campaign in this state talking about, we'll do whatever they need help with.
Stunts that need to be pulled.
Huh?
Be on standby. Fan the flames. Make it seem like we lost, even though we know we lost. Or make it seem like it was stolen, even though we know we lost. This is essentially what it boils down to, Brian. And I mean, look. In these segments, we're going to have conversations about, is this routine Friday reporting? Because this is when it came about, and this is when the process led for it to be put out. Press releases that are saved for Friday evenings, news stories that come out on Fridays. I think there is some question about the fact that at the end of the week, ahead of busy weekends, the news cycle's getting turned over. Is it a news dump? Or is it just routine Friday reporting? And that will be a question that I think is important to discuss. And we'd love to hear what you think. 844-967-2789. Do you think this is a Friday news dump? Or do you think this is just regularly scheduled reporting that came out on a editorial timeline that led it to be published on a Friday?
I don't know. What day did they shoot down that balloon?
On a Friday.
Yeah.
What day did that jobs report come out?
Yeah, Friday.
On a Friday.
Oh, that jobs report? What jobs report? Wasn't it that how it's going to be horrible and the economy is going to go into a crash and a reset? I heard something about that on some...
Well, that gets into another theme of what we discuss here on Dueling Tangents, narrative. And yes, the narrative leading up to Friday, before this jobs report was released, was, ooh, it was going to show that we were on the borderline of a recession, Brian. We only added 183,000 jobs was what was projected. And... Oh. That reporting number was shattered. Just absolutely shattered. More than 500,000 jobs were added in the month of January for 2023.
That's crazy. That almost triples the expectations.
Yeah. And
I thought that nobody wanted to work anymore. At least that's the narrative that everybody puts out there. It turns out that at least 500,000 more people, and literally three times more than expected, actually do, in fact, on paper,
have jobs. Yeah. The added jobs January 2023.
It's crazy.
It is very crazy that these narratives go about that way, Brian, that you have and again, I think it's it's a good conversation to have. It's a good debate to have of whether or not this is regular scheduled reporting or if it's a Friday news dump to lesser the story. Prevent people from talking about it for too long.
Let me throw out a little headline. I know we're going to go to break in a little bit here. I just want to throw out a little headline before, just to think about while we come back. Just another Friday thing. I just found in the press releases on Friday in Wisconsin, you know, things that may go along the themes of the Trump campaign admitting that they knew what they were doing and that they lost by 20,000 votes. Wisconsin Elections Commission. The voting equipment audit finds no mechanical errors.
That's excellent news. That's terrific news.
Good thing we posted it on a Friday when it was buried by people shooting down a balloon. By the way, if you hadn't heard about it, it would go over just like the other balloons, the three ones that went over the Trump administration that nobody ever talked about. Just
secret balloons.
Secret balloons. My point is that no matter what you think about the balloon, we're never going to know the answer to it. It's literally just, I know something you don't know, and that's the headline.
Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. If you want to share a tangent with us on this Monday afternoon, 844-967-2789. You can call or text. The phone lines are going to be open all hour long as we continue to jump from tangent to tangent, but we're doing a little dumpster diving here on a Monday. We'll continue the conversation when we get back. Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. He's Brian Kelly. We are Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. If you want to give us a call, share a tangent with us, 844-967-2789. And, Brian, this is just an interesting concept, I think, here to kick off our Mondays. Because we do discuss narrative a lot here on these airwaves. And the fact that some narratives like to get buried on a Friday night news dump, I think, is an important thing to, you know, unpack a little bit and discuss.
Well, narrative is important because perception is reality. So whatever story you end up telling yourself, that ends up becoming the reality, especially if it's backed up by several other people. Again, I go back to the balloon thing, and I don't really care about the balloon.
I don't either.
The whole point is that nobody has a direct story as to what it is, and nobody was told what the narrative of it was. So everybody got to make up their own narrative, and everybody gets their news filtered through their own source. So everybody hears what they want to hear about the balloon.
And some people were very quickly to react, and they were having contradictory takes within the same news cycle of this balloon. They're like, why haven't they shot it down earlier? And then why did he shot it down? He should have left it. Now we're gonna have worse relations with China than we've ever had. And it just, like, the inconsistency around something like that, where it feels like there needs to be a reaction sooner than there actually has to be one, and everybody's just giving their take, and it's just cranking out takes And that's about it.
Well, the thing is with the balloon is that, you know, the people who were, obviously it wasn't that much of a concern, because if they waited that long, if it was that much of a concern, it would have been taken care of earlier. But my point is that when you don't put out a clear narrative as to what it is, we're never going to find out what the actual answer is. But the point is, if you don't put out a clear, this is what is happening, people are fit to make up their own things, especially in this news climate. This is why the Friday news dump works all the time, because everybody, especially nowadays, like back in the day, it used to be like four or five sources of news. You got your Cronkites, you got your, you know, Peter Jennings or whatever you want to. You had like
there was a few amount
of filters right now.
Yeah.
Right now, you have people writing, let's say someone writes for an AP news article. Now you have like 5 to 10 different news sources that will take that article, disseminate it, and rewrite it in their own way. While releasing their own headline with links to that article. So there's 100 articles written about the article, so you get to filter your information based on what your point of view is. That's what I use that with a Raw story all the time. Raw story is a little bit of, you know, cynical and, mm-hmm. you know, pokes fun at people, but they use real sources for their material, but they put it in such a way that is controversial and people pick it up. So sometimes you get led to really good stories through the Raw story. But my point is, it's just a spin on what the real news is. And that's why right now you can really disseminate, like in the information age, where everybody has information at their fingertips in a second. You could find out who won the Grammys as the second that they happened because of information technology. But if you don't have the ability to filter or know how you're being marketed to, a lot of times the reality that you are presented with is just a narrative and a perception and not necessarily a reality, even if it might be rooted in truth.
Right. It's the same reason why if you poll individuals right now, there's a large segment of the population that believes we're heading towards a recession, despite the fact that the jobs numbers at the end of last week have no indication of a recession. You don't add 500,000 jobs in a month leading into a recession. You just don't. And so the fact that there are narratives being spun saying, oh, well, we're expecting a pretty bad jobs report, and this is what we're anticipating, this is what economists are thinking, this is over and over again trying to manifest those narratives. When then you poll individuals and you get polling that backs it up, and it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, Brian. If you have a bunch of these ecosystems that are saying, this is what's going on, this is what we think, this is the economy's not doing great right now, and then you have a Fed that's like, oh, well, we need fewer jobs to be able to go after them. We're going to increase interest rates because there's too much demand out there right now. Rather than trying to boost the supply side, they're trying to tamper down on demand, which means, and Powell came out and said it at the Fed, that he's going to continue raising interest rates until the unemployment numbers go up. And so, like, the Fed's ready for people to lose their jobs to prevent further inflation. Inflation's been coming down. The Republicans that took over Congress.
Pretty much definitively, they've proven that it was because price gouging.
Yeah. Republicans in Congress have done nothing, even though that's all they ran on in 2022. No action on inflation since they took over the House of Representatives. But you get these narratives that, again, it's just all, and it's, we got a little clip and I want to share it with Media Matters, put something together about the way that Fox News reported on the news dump of the jobs numbers on Friday. And let's, Evan, if you could play it for the people. This was the lead up and then the following reporting around Friday's jobs numbers over on Fox News.
January jobs report comes out tomorrow. Should we expect a bloodbath?
January jobs report coming out this morning after massive layoffs.
Expecting a real slowdown and a profits recession.
We may get 215,000 jobs, but if the largest part of that are the lowest paying jobs, it's not going to be a good jobs report. The labor force is certainly looking weaker and weaker.
We have a Fox News alert. The January jobs report just released. The U.S. adding 517,000 jobs last month.
That is much stronger than economists expected. They thought 185,000. Unemployment dropped to 3.4.
That's the lowest since 1969.
Wow.
Yeah, the lowest since 1969.
Yeah.
But tell me again how Biden isn't doing well. Okay.
But it just goes into that they were all expecting it. They were previewing it. They were playing it up. This was the narrative. This is what it's going to be. And the numbers came out way better than expected.
Yeah. And right now, this is good news, right? This
is
good
news. It is. It should be celebrated.
But this type of thing, this type of effect, this narrative, this perception is reality. This could come to roost and really, really mess us up. When we come back, I want to tell you about how this is going to affect the U.S. Supreme or our Wisconsin Supreme Court race. That narrative thing is going to come back and possibly just because of the effect it has.
Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Give us a call, 844-967-2789. We want to hear your tangents on this Monday.
Welcome back, everybody.
Yeah. How you doing, Brian?
It's Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
It is. We're getting some Grammy nominees.
Take a deep breath. And relax. It's the Friday news dump. We're sifting through the trash here. It's nice and calm. And we've been talking about not only the Friday news trash, but how narrative works and how the Friday news trash turns into a narrative. And you tell us a nice, beautiful story, and wow, I can... That's how the reality is now.
How it's all because brought together.
It's all brought together the way that you want it to. And I promise we're going to talk about the Supreme Court race in Wisconsin and how that has to do with it. Because, folks, if you're of the, let's say, you know, progressive liberal type of persuasion, like a lot of folks in this area, and, you know, listen to us, are... you may want to really double check the Doro situation. I've been thinking about this for a while and talking to other people that I know, who don't necessarily have the, pulse on what's going on in the news, or they kind of tune out a lot of, political ads because you're going to be inundated with a lot of them. I feel like we're in trouble if Doro gets through the primary.
We're as in the liberal, progressive-minded people, or the state of Wisconsin as a whole?
The folks that want... We have a chance to possibly flip the Supreme Court to a 4-3 liberal-leaning type of court, something that could be... Maybe do something about unfair maps. Maybe actually get some progress on some things that people actually want progress on. And that's a really big goal for a lot of the blues here. Well, I think a lot of people have forgotten that why Doro was there in the first place. And the only simple reason, it all comes down to, you can talk about Dan Kelly wearing a cape, you can talk about Doro's son selling drugs, you can talk about how Protasiewicz is such a wonderful advocate for women's rights, and you can talk about how all of her qualifications are there. You can tell everybody how great of a person Everett Mitchell is and how he, you know, helps youth and things like that. But none of it matters, because Doro is the person who yelled at the person everybody hates. That's it. Everybody hates Daryl Brooks. Everybody. Everybody's mad at the guy. And everybody wants to yell at him. And you know who got to do it and do it legally with the full power of the U.S. justice system behind her? Judge Doro. And you cannot discount how important that is to a lot of people, especially, I'm an outsider. I didn't grow up in Wisconsin. But I come here and I see wonderful, great, nice people. But if you cross them and cross them the wrong way, they will wish for your death immediately. and not in a very like joking, like, man, that sucks. It's like vengeance must be
served. Yeah.
And that's what happens when, like, I know this because I'm a really nice, I'm a large man, but I'm a very nice, gregarious man. I don't want to get into fights. I don't want to have confrontation. I'd rather have, you know, joking disagreements and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But when it comes down to you've crossed me and I've been wronged, and I feel like I'm on the right side of justice, my goodness, does the anger hammer fall down hard. And my point is that runs deep here in Wisconsin as well. And I don't think people know how to deal with that, because no matter what, you can bring up anything. Dora could do a lot of dumb things between now and the election, and I don't think it'll matter because she's the one who told Derrick Brooks that he was Darryl a bad Brooks. Guy.
Yeah. Yeah, her Thank presiding you, over the Darryl Brooks Jr. case, I think, in essence, it was what catapulted her entire run. And it may be the inside way for her to win. It is interesting. I have not thought of this four-way primary from that lens, Brian. I think it is interesting because...
That's the stuff that'll get people out to vote for her.
I have individuals in my life that are... I'm not going to say that they're not as tuned in as me. And they found out that she is the judge presiding over that Waukesha County case. And these people, not conservative or liberal leaning one way or the other, very just regular old Wisconsinites that participate in elections. They have the stances. They have strong values. And the fact that Doro oversaw the Darryl Brooks Jr. case... will be a net positive for this voter. So it is an interesting dynamic that is going to unfold for this primary.
And I have a feeling that people, because the way the primary runs, I don't think people will know. I don't think she's going to run outwardly as a conservative. If I was her, I wouldn't. I would just say I'm the Derrick Brooks.
I think Dan Kelly's bringing that race to her, whether she wants it or not, though.
No, I know.
I think Dan Kelly was
keep saying that. Yeah, I put away.
Dan Kelly was in the and some people are like, oh well, the liberals won't be locked out from this race. And I floated it last week with Dan Schaefer here on these airwaves saying, well, what happens if it's the top two? What if Doro and Kelly are the top two candidates? What if that happens? And a lot of people are very quick to dismiss that outcome 2 weeks from tomorrow night. But if Kelly is fully embracing the conservative narrative and Doro gets the inside straight on, well, she's got the name recognition from overseeing that very nationwide viewed trial. Like it was in the month of October last year, constant news updates from every single aspect of that trial.
Every time that she told him and put him, quote unquote, in his place, it was broadcast live on national television.
Yeah.
And rebroadcast and rebroadcast and rebroadcast. And people who don't even know what her political persuasion is, myself, I had no idea where she lie until after the case and she decided to run for Supreme Court. I had no idea. I had no idea her political affiliation. And especially if people have association with her at that time with no political affiliation, there's a really good chance you're going to have people who are actually liberal-leaning in their minds and stuff that may not even know whether she's conservative or not and will go and, oh, she totally did a really good job. And I still will tell you that I think that I think there's some, maybe some issues with the way that she kind of manipulated the system in that situation, because really that guy should not have, that he shouldn't have stood trial for himself because he's clearly a nut job, but I'm sorry about the terminology there, but yeah, for lack of a
actions were questionable whether or not
but I like the decision to go and make him stand trial for himself so that then you can't plead insanity as well. You know what I mean? So it's a little gaming the system, and I wish that I don't know that I'd want someone to do that at my trial, but at the same time, a lot of people saw that as something good, and a lot of people think that that's a good thing, and of course, people don't like Brooks at all. So again, the phone lines are starting to light up. Let's go say hi to some people, see what they have to say about this subject. And any other subject we were talking about is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. We're talking about the Wisconsin Supreme Court race as well as the narrative.
And we're just doing a little dumpster diving on a Monday afternoon. Diving. You know, going through the weekend news dump. Let's head over to those phone lines. If you want to share a tangent, 844-967-2789. You can be like Dick here in Madison. Dick, what's on your mind this Monday afternoon?
I agree with Brian on Doro. Unfortunately, that's the case. Because it's certainly not her really well, the law school she went to, for instance. You know, it's like getting a mail order law degree, in my opinion, but that's another story. Both of them.
For the record,
she went to Regent Law School, which is previously known as the Christian Broadcast University.
It's Pat Robertson's.
Right. Yes, the 700.
She got
club.
A law degree from Pat Robertson. Anyway, let's move on.
Yeah. So, But, you know, that part of it, I see exactly what you're saying, Brian. But back to this situation with with the job creation?
Absolutely. We love tangents around here, Dick. Come on.
Please do.
I mean, come on. This guy's only created at least 180 to 200,000 jobs, and sometimes in the $300,000 and $400,000 range every single month he's been in office. And so, we see some bad numbers here coming, and possibly, and it's just like the same thing with manipulating prices, or gouging, I call it.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see last week too? Chevron, Exxon, the biggest ever. You know, they had their biggest quarter ever
In history.
Both of them.
Yeah,
but
well,
we're all on the verge of a recession with all this prosperity. I don't know what to do.
You're also hearing this narrative be fed that, we're having all these job layoffs in the tech sector. Facebook laying off thousands of employees, but then Facebook posting record profits and buying hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars back in stock buybacks, bolstering their stock price and returning prices to their shareholders. And they're like, things have never been better. We just cut 10,000 jobs, but things have never been better.
And one other thing with the oil companies, BP, did you see what they did? Oh, because they did the worst of the three, they're going to pull back a bunch of money that they were putting in, you know, alternative energy. Because, you know, this is where it's at, the fossil fuel right now. Even though they were spending more than the other two big ones on alternative energy.
Great. That's the consequence, or that's the outcome you want to see from that. Oh, that's lovely. Appreciate that information, Dick. That's good because that's another happened last week that we didn't get to. So we're just sifting through the dumpster of last week's news stories. We got a couple more.
Yeah, we're gonna get to
some more, but we're gonna continue on over the phone lines. We got Jack and Merrimack calling in now. Jack, what's on your mind today?
Well, Joro's an interesting case. Just another celebrity candidate. The Republicans, they now have two whole planks on their platform, give trillions away to billionaires, and just slam down the door on what they consider medical procedure called abortion. And they have nothing else. You know, there's Trump, the celebrity candidate. There's Walker, celebrity candidate, and I hope that Doro goes the same way as did Herschel Walker. Doro also has a few other problems. For one thing, people may have liked the fact that she yelled at the guy that ran over all those people in the Waukesha parade, but that's not a control on your courtroom. If you as a judge get into a yelling match with the accused, that's hardly control on your courtroom. What you do as a judge, and I'm not a legal, but what I would do as a judge is I would say, you either calm down or you're gone. And if he doesn't, he's gone. So Doro, in my opinion, not really, certainly not qualified. The only thing that she has is that celebrity case going for her. And then in terms of judgment, well, we're going to open up a shooting range that is a wedding venue and serves alcoholic beverages. Now, what could possibly go wrong there? And, of course, they've got safety measures in place in a bar, excuse me. I've seen way too many bar fights develop. There is no such thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that permit's going to get approved, Jack, but that was something that Doro's husband, I believe, put in through local officials to try to get that approved.
I don't know that'll work out, but what I can tell you is, Jack, I still go back to it. She got to yell at a black man in the middle of the courtroom legally, and everybody liked it. Everybody liked it. Everybody felt good about it. Everybody felt like, finally, someone's telling that guy. And do you know how exciting that is in this day and age? With the anti-Black Lives Matter movement and the people getting mad about wokeness and everything, they finally got to see a black man get yelled at. My goodness, that she could do anything. She could shoot someone at her while drunk, and people would be like, "Yeah, remember that time she yelled at Brooks? That was awesome." I guarantee you, I don't know how to fight it, because then you have to attack you have to somehow crumble down that case, and I don't know that you can do that. Especially, why would you want to bring that up here? It's untouchable. It's perfect. It's almost too perfect, and I think I'm scared about it. And being the person that knows about and preaches narrative, it scares the hell out of me.
Yeah, it's going to be a very interesting narrative that unfolds over the next 2 weeks. 2 weeks from tomorrow, that state Supreme Court race primary, along with primaries for tons of local elections as well across the state of Wisconsin. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. If you want to learn more about what we're doing as a network, follow us on Twitter at Civic Media US. One more segment left in the day. Plenty of time for your tangents. We'll be right back. Undefeated, never lost.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Brian, that's Luke over there.
Yeah.
Coming to you across the Civic Media Network. Did you watch the Grammys last night?
I did not watch the Grammys last night. I watched some Badger basketball, disappointingly. But did not watch any Grammys.
I don't know why I just get a kick out of it. Because I don't care whatsoever.
I know you don't. And it's been really tough to watch, though.
I don't root against them either.
Right. But these last couple games, they've had like these stretches where it's like, oh, they could absolutely put this game away right now. They just got to focus on the fundamentals with free throws and just getting high efficiency, close shots to the rim. And they just, like, they, within 4 feet, or I forget the exact statistic that the broadcaster shared during the Badger game yesterday, but they were shooting like less than 50% from within 4 feet. And it's like the big guys just got to be able to get those buckets. And I have been really enjoying the Milwaukee Bucks play, though. They played on Saturday night.
They're wicked good.
They're wicked good. Since Chris Middleton came back, the Chris Middleton that a lot of people like to say is washed up, since he got back from this most recent bout of injuries, 7-0, undefeated, haven't lost. So. Huh.
That's pretty good.
It's pretty good. Everybody's talking about, you know, Kyrie going to Mavericks and all the other. This is the NBA.
Why would you do that? Why would anybody?
He got traded. He didn't want
it. Why would you make your? I heard this phrase. It was really cool. I stole it from Dan Bernstein. But why would you saddle your fan base with that guy?
Why would you make your
fan base have to try and root for him?
I had a feeling when on Friday he announced that he was seeking a trade from the Nets. The fact that he got traded then 48 hours later, roughly. Like, it was a quick turnaround. I thought that was going to go right up to the deadline coming up on Thursday. Like, I thought it was going to take some time for that trade to come about, but nope. The Mavericks.
You want to get out of here? See you, bye. See you, bye. See you, bye.
But our friend Dan Schaefer is really, he enjoyed the 9 p.m. game that the Bucks had last week, Thursday, and now the Bucks tip off again tonight because they are on a West Coast road trip at 9 p.m. this evening. So I gotta, you know, go find some extra caffeine or something around here to be able to keep up and
good luck with that.
Stay up all night to watch the game.
Obviously.
Kelsey will be yelling at me, but I'll try to stay awake.
So it's also Super Bowl week.
It is.
Pretty exciting. I have a couple stats I want to share with you. First, because Tom Brady retired.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I heard 80 for Brady. So, okay, my mother-in-law went to go see 80 for Brady, and I knew she was going to go.
Again, is your mother like you a Patriots fan?
Mother-in-law.
Mother-in-law? Okay.
I just want to clarify.
Yeah,
mother-in-law. No, she's a diehard Packers fan.
Diehard Packers fan. Okay. But you yourself, Patriots fan.
Yes. I did not know that it was based on a true story. It is. And every time she talked to me about it, she said it was wonderful and great, and she teared up. She teared up when she was talking about it. And my point is, I think it's better than it was advertised. I think it's advertised as a stupid rom-com, and I really think it has...
Rom-com?
Really,
it's four ladies celebrating their 80th birthday going to see Tom Brady in the Super Bowl.
I'm that type of fluffy. It's advertised as fluffy, and gotcha. I think it has a lot of more deeper roots than it is, which makes me intrigued to watch it, even though I probably would go, oh, God, why are these four people doing this horrible movie? But again, I'm just... Anyway, so Tom Brady's stat here for you.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Brady made the championship game 70% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
70% of the time he made the championship game. All quarterbacks in the NFL completed 64% of passes in 2022. Tom Brady is more likely to take his team to the conference championship game than a quarterback is to complete a pass.
That's a pretty wild statistic. The other one I saw after he announced his retirement at the end of last week was currently one out of every eight Super Bowls in the history of the Super Bowl won by Tom Brady. It's pretty good. He's pretty good at playing football.
That could have very, like, with a couple of different plays, that could have easily been more.
It's just insane. Let's take it both ways, though. With a couple of different plays, it could have been less.
It may not have even started had they not counted that kicker, the forward pass.
Mm-hmm.
But here's a stat about this upcoming Super Bowl, which, again, people say this is people are celebrating. This is the first time two black quarterbacks are playing.
Yeah.
Awesome. But here's some comparable stats. The Chiefs and the Eagles both this year have a 16-3 overall record.
Mm-hmm.
They both have scored 546 points.
Mm-hmm.
They both have six All-Pros, including a Kelce brother and their quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And they were both the AFC and NFC's number one seed, respectively.
Yeah. Somebody said we were living in a simulation when I saw those numbers. I was like, that's pretty wild that... The parity between the two teams and their records and the points scored and who makes up the teams is pretty consistent. I think this weekend will be great. I'm excited for it was a little weird yesterday not having football to watch. I do appreciate the Badgers.
Oh, no, there was a Pro Bowl. You could have watched the Pro Bowl.
I didn't watch any of the Pro Bowl games.
No, why would you watch that? That's awful.
Josh Allen was in the Pro Bowl. He got selected to be a quarterback in the Pro Bowl, and he said, oh, I'm so sorry, I'm sick. And then he showed up at the Pro-Am in Pebble Beach, and he played golf with Aaron Rodgers instead at the Pro-Am, which Aaron Rodgers did happen to win, I heard. So that was good for him. I mean, he's already enjoying the offseason with that Pro-Am. But it
was
is.
Was this before? Is he scheduled for his colonic this year? Whatever we get.
Oh, see, that's the thing.
That
is to me. I don't want to participate at all in the Rodgers Watch 2023. So therefore, I'm just completely just 100% Milwaukee Bucks. Just like blinders are up. Pitchers and catchers report in 7 days.
Yeah.
Brian, that's fantastic news.
I know that.
Awesome. Aaron Rodgers when he makes his decision, great. But up until then, I don't care. I don't care one bit.
I brought up the Grammys at the start of this. I might as well finish with it.
it's a little cherry on top to the new weekend news dump.
So the I didn't care about the Grammys whatsoever, and then across my Facebook screen comes Lizzo in her dress that she wore to the Grammys. I normally don't care about the red carpet. I do not care about any of the fashion or anything like that. But I saw Lizzo in this dress, and I was like, that's really awesome. And plus, I wanted to see Lizzo in that dress. And of course... she's walking around like, and she looks stunning when she's standing there. It's like it's this big giant cape with like a whole bunch of roses embroidered into it. Each of them are silk and hand sewn. It's amazing, and she looks stunning in it. But she could barely move in it compared to everything else. And most everybody else is like has like a train of people. And she's like, "Can you get this for me? I'm coming." And she was just herself, and it was really just
that's
wonderful and heartwarming. But my point is, Lizzo was cool enough that she made this guy actually care about watching the freaking red carpet.
There you go.
Wow.
Buddy. Yeah.
I'm going to go see her.
And Beyonce setting the all-time record for Grammy wins as well.
And there was a tribute to hip-hop, 50 years of hip-hop. That was awesome.
That's I heard that was terrific. I got to go check that
sound,
one out.
I'm not too excited about the sound because they had some issues with the live sound, but the show itself and the people they brought were awesome. Really good production.
Folks, you've been listening to Dueling Tangents
besides
with Luke
sound.
And Brian. Our sound, we hope, was great all hour long. If you missed any portion of it, go check out the podcast. We'll be back tomorrow at 2 p.m. Tune in then.
Undefeated, never lost.
As if you did something right.